This show is sponsored by Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/Joey. That's HuluPlus.com/Joey. And by DollarShaveClub.com. Get high-quality razors sent to your door every month for a fraction of what you pay at retail. Now, go to DollarShaveClub.com/church. That's DollarShaveClub.com/church. Or just go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner. And go to escapepodtank.com for all of your sensory deprivation tank needs. They're already going to save you thousands, but if you mention Joey Diaz or the church of what's happening now, they're going to save you an additional $250 off.
Ain't nothing but against the party.
Oh shit is right, motherfuckers. The new office is in full effect. Charles Bronson, Clint Eastwood. Oh shit. Monday, May 12th, the day the devil got fucked in the ass, lit on fire, then buried at sea with Donald Sterling. But, Oh shit.
We need some black girls with afros in the back just dancing.
I'm gonna put an afro on you, cocksucker, and make you wiggle with a bikini on. What? Grab your nuts, motherfuckers. It's Monday and they ain't fucking around. Oh shit. Vapors, e-cigarettes, alpha brain, protein shakes, and my dick is hard, ready for somebody to suck it. Let's do this, motherfucker. What?
We're seeing Aubrey in Austin, right?
Who?
Aubrey.
I'm seeing everybody.
Because we need to get him to like make one of those weed things, but just do alpha brain, Shroom Tech Sport, immune.
Strong bone.
All in one
thing. All in one fucking vape, and boom, your head blows up, and next thing you know, you're doing jumping jacks, and your knees don't hurt no more. It's a beautiful fucking day to be alive. We're here at the new offices, the new church facilities. We will unveil it to you by Wednesday once we hang the American flag up. The microphone's coming in. We're going back to fucking basics. You understand me? We're going back to the fucking, what do you call it, a little hole when the bomb fucking comes and where people hide? We're going to
the bomb shelter?
We're going to the bomb shelter. You understand me?
Why would we go there?
Because that's where we'll go and just hang and sit and fucking smoke dope. What's with the question, Scott? Second.
I've never heard anyone say, let's go to the bomb shelter.
Let's go to the fucking, that's what this is.
The last place was a fucking bomb shelter.
It's air conditioning, windows, humanity.
We got black people, we got Russians.
We got Russians guarding the fucking thing. You know what I'm saying? I don't mind black people. That lady was just a confused black person. That's it. She was trying to be somebody she's not, which is fucking 62% of this fucking LA scene and 40% everywhere else. She's a fucking black woman trying to be a notary public. I can't say she can't be a notary public. But she was sitting in this fucking cubicle all day doing dick. Just, you know, it was one of those places where she went just to hang out, to tell somebody she had a fucking office. That's no office. You don't invite nobody there.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do?
Fuck it. We got a better place.
Fuck it. We got a better place right up here. We're across from the fucking car lot. We got In-N-Out Burger down the corner.
Could be bad.
We got a Chinese joint down the
corner.
We got a CVS joint down the corner. Before I started going to the China Deli, I used to go to that joint up the corner.
Oh, shit.
Got a nice lunch special. It's not too fucking bad.
What made you leave?
I found a better joint, but then they all suck dick now, so I don't eat Chinese food at all. You call your mother for Mother's Day?
Oh, yeah.
Very important. We only have one fucking mother. When she's gone, you can't get nothing back. You know
what I'm
saying?
Oh, my God. I'm sure everyone, not everyone saw it, but SportsCenter, like, they'll usually do one story that will make you cry. They had, like, a 10-minute segment of, like, five or six stories of these moms that were in the Army or the Navy and coming back to surprise their kids. Oh.
It's fucking tough. It's very tough.
I can't. My cousin is in the Air Force, and she just went to. She's in Afghanistan for 6 months, and she has like a 2-year-old kid. But luckily, she went to live with the dad for the 6 months. But it's just, it's crazy.
It's very crazy to give up your children and go. But that's a commitment you make, you know, and it makes you stronger. It makes you tougher in a way. I just want to give a shout out to the mothers that listen to the show. Without you, we got fucking nothing. It all starts with that fucking monkey. That's the bottom line. It all starts there. And so I hope all the guys and girls that listen to the church gave your moms love, because at the end, you got nothing. I don't have a mom to send a fucking card to. I don't have somebody to send flowers to or to call and tell her thank you for fucking giving me a chance. But in my heart, I do. I have a lot of moms. So I called them all yesterday, and had a nice time with my wife. You know, we were going to go. The night before, first off, Santa Fe was tremendous.
Awesome.
Santa Fe is a great little city. New Mexico is one of the uncharted fucking, you know, nobody thinks of New Mexico. I was introduced to New Mexico maybe 15 years ago.
Okay.
When I was in college and I was getting ready to go to prison. I worked for the Hertz Corporation. I was part of the management training program. And I would have to drive cars on the weekends. That was my job, to back to their original destinations. So they offered it to me. Kid could do it for $8 an hour. I could do it for like 15 in a hotel and fucking.
That sounds awesome.
And I didn't do comedy then. It just used to get me out of town to breathe and think about my life and where I was going to go. I'd take a couple J's and no coke on those trips, and I just spend the weekend, and I got to eat the green chilies, and I got to learn about their culture, and it's really a neat fucking place. It's fucking beautiful. New Mexico as a whole is beautiful. That's where Greg Jackson's camping, and I wish they could have came to the show, but they had their own fights in Albuquerque. We shot the longest yard in Santa Fe, and that was the first time I was back in Santa Fe since the longest yard. So the first day we got there, we went outside, Ari and I, Ari wanted to get high. I got one more week before I could get high till Saturday, and I'm smoking reefer.
How long would it have been?
90 days on Saturday.
Wow.
We'll talk about that later. It's so funny. I sat outside, and this vet came up to us, this great kid from Las Cruces, Anthony, and his girlfriend, and they asked if we wanted to get high, and it was just four people just talking, you know? Something that, you know, there was no Hollywood, no nothing. They pulled up. He goes, Joey, what are you staying in a dump like this for? And I knew as soon as he got out of the car, he was a member of the church, and he came over, and we sat, and we spoke, and he was a vet, and he really inspired me, you know, as a 25-year-old kid to come back, and he was already in a war, you know, and what the fuck have I done at 25? But I admire that, and it inspired me. He was with his girlfriend. He's going back to school, you know. It really fucking inspired the shit out of me how some people come back and cry, you know, and this is this, they don't accept me. Some people come back and just pick their fucking pants on. You know, I never went to the service, but I always have a soft spot for that because it's something I wanted to do. Again, another one of my regrets. I would have loved to have been able to say that I served my country. I served my country in a different way, in prison, like a fucking jerk off. But it's a great experience for people. I see what it does for them. For some people, you know, some people don't take anything from experiences. But if I was in a hole and I was 18 and I had no fucking future, and I didn't. I just was a hustler and a survivor, and I knew how to put pieces together. You know, I didn't show up for my physical because I didn't want to get a blood test. I had no problem shooting people and cursing motherfuckers out. But God forbid I gave a blood. I was so shallow at that age that I overlooked such a life over a blood test, something that takes 60 seconds, you know?
That was really the only reason you didn't go?
That's the real reason. I had nothing going on. And I knew that if I would have gone, I would have had some type of... It would have been the push I needed. I was pushing myself at that age, so it wasn't like I was just sitting there watching MTV all fucking day, watching videos. I was still out there doing my thing, but it's always been one of my... And listen, man, if you're 18 and you join the service, you fucking retire by the time you're 38. You know what that's like, to be walking around with 38 and getting checks in the mail? You go back to college... You could do a thousand fucking things, you know? And it I know that you crazy. Put up with a lot of shit. But you put up with a lot of shit in life. If you're 18 and you go work in a fucking warehouse, how much shit do you put up with? They give you $7.50 an hour. You got to be there on time. Maybe your boss is angry, fucking passive. He wants to be a ballet star, but he ended up in a fucking warehouse. And so now he takes it out on you every fucking day. What's the difference? What's the fucking difference? When you see people that uptight in their jobs, that their bosses and they push you, that's because that's not what they really wanted to fuck. I hate that shit.
Yeah.
When I used to work, when I used to be a fucking civilian and people come in, oh, Tony's here, you know, make believe you're working. Fuck
you.
Oh,
I hated that.
I fucking hate that shit. And I understand what people go through on a daily basis when they work, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so weird, like you could tell when somebody's kind of stuck. Those days when I was young, I would see those people. And we talked about this last week when you work. And you see people that are older than you, and you're like, that's what I have to look forward to, being that. That's what I have to look, even if I stick this out and learn this career, and I look forward to being that guy. That's all, you know, he wants to yell at me or fucking tell me that I didn't do the fucking boxes right or the orders. I mean, they just come in to fucking bring the energy level down, some bosses, you know, and then they leave. They just come in and spread like a fucking, what are those Chinese people, the Mongolians that killed everybody?
Yeah.
They just come in, slice your head off, and leave, you know, so...
I think what it is when you're 18 and making that decision, someone telling me that I'm going to be 38 and retired, I can't even imagine.
You can't imagine. You really can't imagine. You know, I talk this shit here to you guys, and I'm wrong for talking it, because give me fucking 10, 18-year-olds, and I'll show you one of those 10 that thinks about the future, like really the future, that really even looked past 30. Because when you're 18, 25 seems like a fucking...
Oh, yeah.
It seems like an eternity away.
And it's not.
And it's really not. It goes by fucking fast, you know? Because you graduate what? How old were you when you graduated college?
22 or 21? Yeah, because you go in when you're 18.
22, 23.
Yeah.
And for the last 3 years before I met you, what were you doing? Well, I met you at 23, basically.
Yeah, you basically met me 6 months, a year after I got out of college. So, I mean, it's just, and I don't think that people who go into the Army are going in thinking, ooh, I get to retire in 20 years. It's just what they want to do.
What they want to do at that time, you're right.
But, like, my cousins, I have both of them are in there, and they grew up, like, so poor. Like, it was just, like, their mom was working at McDonald's. And it was terrible. But they both went in. One of them is one of the guys that refuels planes in midair, and that's fucking cool. He went to Japan and Hawaii, like he. And but then the other one who has the kid spent time in Okinawa and London, and now that she has the kid, they're paying her more. And then now she's based in like North Carolina for most of the year, but every couple of years she has to go to Afghanistan. For a few months, but she's Air Force, so she's not doing anything dangerous.
Well, you're always doing something dangerous, right? Because if there's a war, you get I don't know what the word is, activated, or I don't want to sound like a fucking Momo. I am a fucking Momo. But it's just amazing the people that inspire me sometimes. Like, I don't get inspired by fucking movie stars and all this shit. I get inspired by little people because it takes me back. It takes me back. It reminds me. I love being reminded. I love being reminded every fucking day of what life could be or what life used to be like. So it makes me work harder. People that push the past back and go, I dip into that once a day whenever I'm feeling down. You know, if I'm feeling down about something, I go, you know what? I'll tell you how bad it could be. I could be waking up with a piece of shit next to my face with no blanket, no pillow.
I think most people run from that.
No, it keeps me fucking honest, man. Because it keeps me knowing what could happen at any minute. This is just a fucking, you know. I think if you're real and you're nice and you genuinely love people for what they are, I think that even in bad times, you survive.
Have you always been like that? Because, I mean, just speaking for me personally, this is the happiest I've ever been. So I try not, like, it's not an active, I try not to, but I don't find myself thinking about a couple of years ago, like, oh, thank God.
Well, you can't fake happiness.
Right.
You could laugh and giggle, and then when you go home, you're in your four walls and you're crying. You know, you can't fake happiness.
Well, that's the worst.
And I did plenty of that growing up. I did plenty of that when I was trying to become a comedian. From the frustration, you know, when you want something so bad and you can't get help, you know, and you can't. Then you figure it out. You go, you know what, I don't need no fucking help. I'm going to figure it out. And you diagram your own fucking directions, you know. And that's why I always say the power of the pen. Diagram your own fucking direction. Diagram your own fucking map. This is your map. You know, when you get in your car, you go, oh, I'm going to go to fucking, you know, whatever, and you press the address and it navigates you. It tells you, I wish life was like that. And nothing really happens till you make your fucking plan, where you make your map, that this is what I'm doing and nothing's going to deter me from this. You know, I'm boring, man. I'm a boring individual when at the end it comes to it. Because I do what works for me, and I do it exactly the same way every day. Because it works for me. When I deviate from what works for me, that's when my day goes kaput. I know what's going to work for me. And it's funny, I'm taking a voiceover class.
That's awesome.
Right, this is the second week out of three. You know, I signed with a voiceover agent, and I didn't do too well. And I'm the type of guy that... if I don't do too well, either I figure it out, which I went online and tried to read... Or I know that if I mimic somebody or I go see somebody do it, I'll get better at that job.
So what, and I don't know, maybe you don't know yet, maybe that's why you're in the class, but like, you acted in the longest yard, and then they want you to do the longest yard cartoon. How is that different? Like, it seems like it'd be similar.
Well, when you do a voice, your emotion has to come through your voice. I don't have my hands.
Okay.
I don't have my eyes. I don't have my mouth. I don't have my mannerisms. So maybe the cartoonist or the whatever you call them. The,
yeah, that's
there's a
right.
word for them.
Animator.
Animator could do all that with me. But my voice is what gives that character emotion with cartoons.
Okay.
And it's so weird that this is all falling in because now I watch cartoons again.
I've been watching Wallace and Sam,
and I've been watching Peppa Pig. Peppa Pig, by the way, is fucking hysterical.
I don't even know that one.
Peppa Pig is this cartoon that replaced a bunch of shit on Nick at Night. And it's this fucking pig with an English accent. And it fucking pissed Mercy off for about a month.
Oh, she didn't like it?
No, because she already knew what time these things come on. It was Team Umizoomi comes on. But now they've replaced the whole Nick at Night network with fucking Peppa Pig. And she snaps. So every morning, I take Mercy and I sit her on my lap. And we watch. I go to ABC TV and I watch the ABCs. I watch ABC Phonics. I do the numbers with her. And then to break up the monotony, I do the alphabet by Peppa Pig. All the other kids' videos, Beaver, whatever, and ABC.com, they all give you, you know, A is for apple, apple. B is for ball, 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 ball. C is for cat, cat. D is for dog. They give you all these fucking words. Peppa Pig's dinosaur. Peppa Pig's ABC just breaks it the fuck open. She's talking about dinosaurs and fucking cat food. Like, her words are funny.
Okay.
And the pigs, the daddy pig, the mommy pig. I fucking giggle every time I watch the alphabet by Peppa Pig. That's just me. But it's amazing how you not... I just want to be good at it. You know, I know that our lives go in evolution. I don't like to be bored. I don't like being bored. You know, we had a great time last week when we did two podcasts outside. We could have done them in the office. We went against our fucking grain. We didn't play no music, no video. We just went out there and had a talk. We got forced to do a podcast again.
Yeah.
And it was fucking fantastic. It taught me a lot again. I like switching shit up. People come to me all the time, hey, when are you going to do Joey Karate videos? I'm not doing them no more. I might start doing Joey Jiu-Jitsu videos pretty fucking soon. That's if I lose some weight, you know, get on the mat and do some hip escapes with motherfuckers and some fucking judo rolls by myself. Something just to show people I'm fucking up to. But I still go every day. I'm going today to fucking Jiu-Jitsu. I'm going at 10:30 because I thought I had a one. So I'm going up to 10th Planet. And I had a great week last week jiu-jitsu-wise because I went to class three times.
Oh, wow, that's
and
great.
And my breathing, I mean, it's going to be so hard to smoke reefer again in the mornings.
Well,
because my breathing has improved.
When you said it, I was like, are you sure you're definitely going to go back to it? Because you seem so happy with
it. I might take a few hits at night just to help the fucking cause, you know. Okay. But I'm having fun with the vapor. You know, the vapor doesn't get me high after lunchtime. After this morning rush,
I won't do anything. Oh, Jesus.
That's why. Are you high right now?
Yeah.
Don't make me give you another one, cocksucker. You could use another vape. It's that time anyway. It's Monday, May 12th. You know what I'm saying? Why are you looking at me at that look?
Because I'm high.
So, you get high. You're not eating an edible. You know what I'm saying?
So what? That's what they're there for. What do you mean?
But if I brought an edible, you'd be fucking crying too. I don't want to.
I didn't.
My waistline.
I didn't cry at all. God damn it. It is kind of crazy because, like, for me, there were a bunch of editors who, like, had been there for 20 years, and they don't, okay.
Oh, shit.
And they never learned new equipment or something, or they learned the bare minimum, so then they have a guy like me come in and basically show them how to turn it on. So it is kind of cool that you have to always evolve and always learn.
You have to. I listen, for 20 years, people, oh, your voice is great. You're great at voiceovers. Nobody ever fucking signed me for a voiceover. What did I do? I did Trip Tank.
Is it on?
Yeah, it's on. Is the light on? Let me see. Cocksucker, did you fuck it up? Once I did Trip Tank, yeah, it's on. Just press it.
I'm supposed to listen to it burn. Let me see if I can get it.
Don't listen to nothing. Just press it and smoke it. Don't listen to the burn. You want to hear it burn? Smell. Listen to my asshole as I fucking pop a fart, cocksucker. Press it. You press it. Press it. Keep pressing. And now hit it again. Hey, you didn't get nothing. Let your finger off it for a minute. Let it refuel. Press it again. 2 seconds. Hit it. Slow. Slow. Not like a fucking black cock. Slow, cocksucker. Slow, get the fumes in your lung. That's a boy. Now let it sit in your throat. Bust that fucking vapor out. There you go. You see what I'm saying? Who takes care of you like your Uncle Joey, cocksucker? Nobody. No, I had
so
to go
did
to this
trip tank.
I did the trip tank, and I wanted to do more voiceovers. And I talked to a friend of mine, who that's what he does. And I took him out to breakfast, and I asked him, and he goes, "I'll give you a shot." And he, right away, he got the ball going. He threw me right to the fucking wolves. This guy was my commercial agent in 1997 also. He was my first commercial agent.
Oh, cool.
So I signed with him across the board. I went to a couple auditions. I didn't do good. And you know me, bro, I don't like doing good, especially when somebody works hard for me. I can't let them down, you know, especially those agents. So I checked around and I signed up for this class, you know, and it's with three different directors, casting directors from Disney, shit like that.
Oh, that's so cool.
If I get a little bit out of it, if I learn one fucking thing, it was worth the fucking $80 or whatever, you know. It's Monday, 7 to 10, and hopefully I'll get better at it, you know. And this is why you do these little workshops and shit, you know. I don't do a workshop for life for somebody to hold my hand. I go, I get their interpretation of it, and then I do what I do.
Right.
And we put it all together, you know. But that's funny that you think just because I did a fucking, I do it all. I don't give a fuck. I'm trying to learn everything. The book will be out by December. We hooked up with that girl the other day.
She's so nice.
She's great. You know, I'm going to do this book. I'm going to put another CD out. So this is what's in the works right now. I'm starting to do all this. The book is probably a quarter gone, man. I've really been putting some time into it. I think I'm going to only do a couple fucking different weeks this summer. I'm going to San Jose. I'm going to Vegas. But I'm going to focus on that book so it's done by the end of August.
Nice.
So by September and October, she can. And it's been a fucking, like, listen, I didn't know how to write, Lee.
Right.
6 years ago, I sat behind a computer in Hollywood when I stopped doing blow, and I started putting a blog up every Monday. And if you look at those blogs today, you're like, Joey, you're a dummy. I didn't even know how to write. I had no ideas. I had forgotten grammar. I had forgotten spelling. I had forgotten everything. I'd been that long. I made the mistake that a lot of the young people do in Hollywood when I wasn't young. They come to town, they buy a writing book, and they think the writing book's going to do the writing for them. Mm-hmm. You can read all the books you want on writing. Unless you fucking write, nothing's going to happen. You got to write. It's like everything else. You know, you could stay at home and watch jujitsu videos. Unless I go there and get beat up for a year, you're never going to get nothing. You only get better at something when you get beat up at something. But the main thing is you got to do it. If you don't do it, then you're fucking dead, you know, and that's why I do all these little fucking things I do to keep me sharp. I'm 51, Lee. I'm supposed to be losing my memory. I'm supposed to be losing all these fucking things, and I accept them, but I got to keep the areas that are sharp, fucking sharp. You know, when you cover Michael, when you played the fucking whatever,
Bulls.
The Bulls in the 80s, the 90s, you didn't cover Michael Jordan and say you're going to shut him down. That's not going to happen. What you do is cover the other guys four tightly and let Michael Jordan run his game. Do you follow the backing behind it, the mindset? And that's just what I'm doing. I'm playing a fucking box four on me. So whatever I'm strong at, I go at. What I'm weak at, I'm just going to get rid of now because I'm fucking 51. But you don't want no weaknesses. You want to keep writing and keep fucking, you know, you just want to keep doing it, brother.
That's great. No, that's great. It's not that I didn't think you could do it, but it's just I know a lot of people who, when they get to your age, if someone said take a voiceover class, they might say, oh, those stupid casting directors don't know what they're doing. I'm just going to keep to this, or I'll eventually get it.
So maybe they don't know what they're doing, but neither do I. But if I could take one quality from them.
Oh, no, you're doing the right thing. I'm just saying what they would have said.
One quality from them. If I could take one line from them that I learned something, then I'll be fucking ready to rock, you know?
Yeah.
If I could take one thing from them and learn, that's all that fucking matters, man. That's what evolving is. That's what you keep moving, you know. For the last 3 weeks, I took the kettlebells out 3 days a week out of my thing because I was just eating too much.
Mm-hmm.
So now I go to the Y and I do the elliptical,
mm-hmm.
and I do the bag, and I do the bicycle once a week to loosen up my knee. I try to keep it, you know. I try to go to one drill class with John Evan, but then I also go to one fucking fighting class with Salami so he can beat the fuck out of me up at 10th Planet. And I keep it all going because it keeps my mind fresh.
Yeah.
You know, I can't do the same fucking shit every week, you know. So if you're bored with what you're doing, just switch up a little bit once in a while for a few weeks just to throw some whatever in there. You know, this morning I didn't have a protein shake this morning, to be honest with you. I had a fucking egg and I had a piece of fucking whatever the hell you call it.
Toast?
A piece of fish I had.
Fish?
Left over, yeah, with no toast.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, just something different. I'll have a protein shake when I go home now.
Okay.
You know, because I had two protein shakes the other night, back to back. The fucking farts that I've been blasting on the way down the sand, whatever, were the worst ever. When you have a protein shake at the end of your night to help you, whatever, after you work out, because I had a late workout Thursday night or Friday night, I went to jiu-jitsu. Beginning jiu-jitsu late. And I went home, and instead of eating, I had a protein shake. And then when I woke up the next morning, my flight was early, so I had a protein shake. what that all that whey and whatever the fuck the chemicals they put in there. When you eat healthy, that what comes out of your ass is horrible. Yeah. You can eat 10 White Castles and fart and it's okay.
I can't imagine a one egg and a fish fart that smells good, though.
No, I had, I had a fried egg. Okay. I ate the yolk. Yeah. And then I fucking had a piece of salmon that was left over.
That fart's going to kill somebody.
So what? But it's protein enriched.
I love it when people when I have bad farts next to somebody.
Oh, I love it. I was blasting them yesterday. And yesterday it was coming out of my ass is the pre-farts right in the plane. But the pre-shit fart, okay. The last one before. That's terrible. Why are you talking about shit? Where's the, it's Monday, May 12th. A little something for my mother on fucking post-Mother's Day. I played this yesterday for my mom.
Really?
I lit a candle. I couldn't get flowers because the cats eat them.
Oh, really?
My buddy Frankie Balzano always calls me and tells me, tell me where your mother's funeral site is so I can drop flowers for it. It's not the same, you know? When somebody breaks your little Tony Bennett. We've been gone for too fucking long, people. The live podcast, two music ones. We're back! It's Monday the 12th. Get your shit together. Somebody who will swear to be true as you used to do with me. What the fuck, Lee?
Nothing. I've decided that I have to learn Spanish for Paula's mom.
Okay.
And I'm the fucking worst at languages. What you're doing for Mercy is so cool because, like, I can memorize, the words. But the fucking grammar and the conjugating words, it fucking...
Listen, don't worry about all that shit. What you need to do is, I got the pleasure for you.
Got
one day, every day for 1 hour, you're going to go and put on Telemundo.
That's it?
That's it. For now. This goes in different. I want you to listen.
Okay.
I want you to listen.
I do notice that
I want you to take a notebook.
Okay.
Open it from scratch and just write little words down. Because a lot of English words sound similar in Spanish. They just change around a little bit. So you got that. So as long as you understand one word from each sentence, we're halfway there. Then we're going to pick up two words.
Okay.
Then we're going to pick up three words. But I want you to listen. Something we don't do anymore. We don't listen. God gave you fucking ears to listen. That's why I love podcasting. I like the Ustream, but I like podcasting because it forces you to listen. When I was growing up, it was albums, Richard Pryor, so you had to listen. You know, now you got more video and all that shit. I like when people have to listen. If you listen to people talk Spanish,
mm-hmm.
1 hour a day, that's 7 hours a week. In the morning, 8 to 9, even if you put on the news. Put the news on. Because when they talk about deportes, that's sports.
Okay.
Now you got a beat.
Okay.
That's the, because now you got an interest. Hoy en Boston, José Smith metió un tres jonrón para Boston Red Sox, ganaron 5-0. Now you start figuring out 5-0, 0-0. Oh, shit.
Okay.
Oh, shit. Because it's an interest of yours.
Yeah.
Now we got to find some fucking Mexican Jews. That's what we need to fucking find.
I'm sure they have them.
No, they got them. One of the guys I went to war with is a Mexican Jew. But that's that's your first thing is listening. Is listening. Because before you could speak, you have to listen. You know, it's funny how much of our learning process is from seeing other people.
Oh, yeah.
And we're not imitating. We're just learning and putting what he's doing to the next level. You know, I love spending time with my daughter, and I love doing that shit with the videos. But when I take her to those mommy and me classes, because I'll go with my wife to them sometimes. Like, we went to picture day the other day, and I had a great time. I just sit there and watch. And I learn from them. You know, I learn, oh, my God, that's why you bring kids around. You know, and it's not that we're imitating somebody. We're imitating, and that's where the art comes in, is we're doing it our own way. And then mm-hmm. we figure out how to do it the best way. You know, Maverick came to the shows the other day. Maverick is a kid that's listened to the podcast since day one. He's a producer, and he sent me a bunch of shirts from the show on A&E with the beards. You know, the dudes.
Doug Dynasty.
And the other night he came up to me, shook my hand, we were at the bar in Santa Fe, and he goes, you know, man, I really like what's happened to Lee. You could see where Lee has changed and come out of his shell in many ways. It's not because you're trying to be Joe Diaz. It's because you saw different avenues. And I learned a lot from you, but I saw different avenues. I saw what, sometimes you see what's important and what's not important. because of what happened to me early on in my life, I got to see what was important and what wasn't important. I didn't have time to learn it. I had to just fucking erase shit. Like, this ain't going to work. And I always knew that I could help other people because a lot of people run scared. Jesus Christ, do people run scared? And nobody was more scared or is more scared than me. Nobody. In the morning when I wake up, those things I write on, that's what I have to tell myself to want to go out there and stab a motherfucker. I got to push the extreme in the mornings. Nobody's more scared than me. But you see what you could do without. And that's what I've always laughed at society about. What you could really do without and still prosper and still be a human being.
Yeah.
You know, what you could really do without. And that's what I always try. I hope that's what people take from this podcast. You know one thing you could do without in your life? Fucking fear. Fear of anything or anybody. Because it doesn't matter. The worst thing they could do is fucking kill you.
That's pretty bad.
Who gives a fuck? But you died trying. You died trying. And that's a better feeling. We got a call?
No.
Well, that's a better feeling than somebody kicking you in the fucking stomach or you saying, I can't do it. Do you know what I'm saying? That's the worst. That's the number one thing we have to get rid of. But then there's little things. Like I drove for 10 years without a fucking license. You know what I'm saying? Why everybody's running scared. You know when they tell you, as soon as you move to L.A., you got to change your license plates. No, you don't. No, you don't. You know what I'm saying? And even then, it's like what I was telling Damon the other day on Friday. Things about flying.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
When you fly. If I pull up and I see a fucking line of people on American Airlines that from now to shit, and the first class line is open, I jump on that first class line.
But I mean, I get scared.
Before that lady says hi, you stick your fucking license in that machine. And you start working on your plane ticket. By the time she comes over and says to you, you're not first class, go, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I didn't know. I thought, and what's she going to tell you? Go back to the line? No. You already stuck your license into the fucking machine and got the computer paperwork going. It's over.
Okay.
She's not going to cancel and make you go back in line. They're going to say, this time we'll do it. Next time, don't do it again. Who gives a fuck about next time? You won't. Next time I come here, you won't be at the counter anyway.
Jeez, we didn't tell them what happened. I think it was last Monday before the podcast. We went to breakfast and you started yelling at cops.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was so scary. I was driving. I was driving to breakfast, and there was an accident. The cops pulled people over. But
tell them what the cops were doing.
In the middle of the freaking street, and it was annoying. It was causing traffic at rush hour, which is bad already. But you roll down the window, and you're like, use your brains, cocksucker.
Use your fucking brains.
And I was trying to get as low as possible.
It's a rush hour, and you got the car parked in the middle of the fucking street for some lady who got a fender bender. Pull your fucking car over. It's fucking, what time was it, Lee? Am I lying? 8:30 in the fucking morning. How much traffic is there in Los Angeles? This is fucking, and that's not the first fucking cop that does it.
No.
They do it all the time.
On the highway, too.
On the highway to pull somebody over, because who gives a fuck if they're in the HOV lane? It's fucking 8:30. Get the license plate and send them in the fucking mail. But you're going to pull somebody over at fucking 10 after 8 to give a $200 fuck. Get the fuck out of here. That's not being a cop. That's being a fucking idiot. You're supposed to serve the community. When you pull over on Lancashire because there's a homeless guy taking his dick out and two cars like that and I got to go around them, that's not protecting the fucking community, man. You know, there's a big thing in LA going on right now about fucking cops dying. And hey, I sympathize with the families. I sympathize with everybody. But you live by the sword, you fucking die by the sword. LA police don't fucking shoot nobody in the leg, man. They shoot people. In this fucking town, they shoot to kill.
They do?
Oh, fuck. Read the paper every day. They had to shoot a guy who had a gun. Shoot him in the leg. Shoot him in the leg two times. In L.A., they kill everybody.
Oh, Jesus.
These cops kill fucking everybody. So you live by the fucking sword, you die by the fucking sword. Some cop was at a lightning, got hit by a fucking drunk driver woman. Oh. Killed 2 weeks ago. My sympathies go out for the fucking family, but karma's a motherfucker. Just because you got a fucking badge don't mean you can double park or do what the fuck you want to do. You got to be a cop, but you also got to be a human fucking being. When I grew up, I was a bad person. I did some bad things. But thank God the cops I dealt with were human beings. They came to me and said, what happened? This is what happened. You want to arrest me for two kids throwing their fucking hands up? Really? Over a parking spot? Take us around the corner, sit there with the cop car with the lights on, watch us fight it out, and then put us in the car and take us fucking home. But these motherfuckers now a ticket, but then they wonder why the jails are packed, because they forgot to be human beings. The police department is corporate now.
Yeah.
It's like everything fucking else in our lives. Everything has procedures, this and this, this and this. What if I end up being a fucking human being? I pull you over, I know who the fuck is speeding. I know who has to get to where the fuck they're going. I know. You don't think you know when somebody's fucking playing you? You fucking know. But there's people that are just trying to live, and then you pull them over and break their fucking balls. You follow me? It's just, you know, so you live by the fucking sword, you die by the sword. I've always said karma 101 is a motherfucker. And I'm not happy about that to people's fucking lives. I know I'm going to get backlash for saying this shit, but it's true. You pull up to some, there's people who have mental health issues who just wake up one morning and get a fucking axe and stand in front of their house and wave it around. You know what? You shoot tear gas at that motherfucker and you shoot him in the fucking leg with a 22 and you take him to fucking mental health facility. They don't see it like that no more. They come in, they'll shoot you fucking dead. Maybe yeah. You forgot 3 days to take your medication. People forget to take their medication all the fucking time. So a guy gets it. They didn't shoot Martin Lawrence when he was naked on fucking whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But they'll shoot a motherfucker in this town, man. And then they wonder why they're getting killed. Because karma's a motherfucker. Karma's a fucking motherfucker.
Yeah, you see that a lot more with animals, like dogs and stuff. That always breaks my
What's
heart.
What's going on the last 3 years with these people shooting fucking dogs?
I don't know.
Shooting a fucking dog?
Yeah.
Shooting a fucking dog? You know what comes back to you when you shoot a dog? You know what happens to your fucking asshole?
Something terrible, I hope.
You know, Michael Vick apologized to it, but Michael Vick lives in fear. Michael Vick lives in fear. You ever kick a cat or do something bad to an animal, the karma you have, a gentle animal? Yeah, there's some animals out there looking to bite you. I could see, you know, I was sitting the other day yesterday. If I'm at the park and I see a dog going to bite Mercy, I got to kick him in the fucking neck. And I love animals, but I got to kick him in the neck. It's either fucking, I got to go for the jugular. I just posted that today. You go for the fucking jugular. What are you going to do? Yeah. I'm going to hold him back. Help, police. I got to kick that fucking dog in the throat. He's about to bite my fucking daughter or my fucking son.
Right. Were we supposed to have a call?
Yeah.
Okay. Hit it.
What's up, brother?
Hey, what's going on, kids?
You bad motherfucker. I haven't had John for a while, and I just wanted to talk to you about a few things that have been bothering me lately.
Well, let's do it, bro. You got the floor, my man.
Danny B on the phone, one of the last fucking real savages from our society back in Jersey.
A rare breed, a very rare breed, to say the least, buddy.
You know,
what's
Danny,
going on? How's everybody?
Last week I was talking to these guys about the movie The Thief, how I watched the end of it and I broke into tears because that's what I wanted to be in 1983. That's what I wanted to be in 1984. That's what I wanted to be in 1985. I wanted to be a thief and I wanted to shoot people. And it was so sad that here I am today and I'm not a thief and I'm not shooting people. But that was the mindset I had, you know, and I've changed in so many ways. I mean, Danny, you used to get a call every 10 days. Have you seen Coco? He robbed my fucking house. That cocksucker, somebody took, you know, it was every fucking...
Dude, I was one of a few that always had your back. You know, everybody was a finger point there until you went to Hollywood. Now they're like, there he is. That's Coco. I grew up with him. That's my boy.
Thank you.
Yeah, fuck everybody.
Thank you. Thank you. Now you know why the way I am, like that fucking Facebook and shit. They always, even when I moved, even when I left New Jersey, I was still getting blamed for robberies. Yep. And it's funny, Danny,
oh,
that
fuck them all, Coco.
We changed.
Hey, they do this. I'm sorry, brother. They do the same thing to me, too.
Oh, now I know. You and I are the fucking scapegoats. Yeah. You and I are the scapegoats that they don't even talk about no more because they're embarrassed because we weren't supposed to be around. We were not supposed to be around. And it's funny how, you know, Danny, we've changed. We used to, you know, we had a funny conversation yesterday about selling weed, you and I, how for 20 years we sold everything, and now that weed is legal, we want to do something else. What the fuck? We should be selling weed now. Now it's legal. It was easy. It was hard before.
How about this? A Bianculo bar.
Danny
Bianculo. All fucking night.
A Danny Bianculo bar. It's heavy. It's 30 grams. It's 300 grams of reefer, 8 grams of protein, and 2 grams of blow wrapped up in a bazooka. For that last fucking edge, fuck your fucking energy drink and all that bullshit. Yep. But you know what, Danny? Every time I see you and I look in your eyes and I hug you and I, you know, we changed. We have families now. We have a wife. You know, we don't stay up all night. We don't give a fuck of what's going on. But the one thing is we really didn't change, Danny. You and I really didn't change. We could still fucking flip that switch in the middle of a fucking, but we didn't change our values, Danny. You never, I'm from North Bergen just like you. We never went out of our way to be fucking cool. We just knew that when we walked in the room, you had to suck our dick. That's just the way it works out in my life.
You know, confidence, yeah, I still do that. I walk into the room, I don't give a fuck. You know, I want you to like me, but if you don't, I don't give a fuck. You're not going to hurt my feelings. You know, I'd like to get along with as many people as possible, but... You know what? It's not the case. So I walk into a room like I own the place, you know, and that's just me. I've always done that. And same with you, man. No matter where you are in life, balls on your feet, you know, broke, whatever. You always walked around. See, it's not what you have, it's what they think you have in life. So you got to carry yourself with confidence, because if you do that, eventually shit comes your way. I mean, you're a perfect example. I'm a perfect example. And it's only a handful of guys like us in that whole area, Cokes, that I go back there. I saw the crew in January. You know, we did okay. That's all I'll say without pointing fingers or saying, go fuck yourself, go fuck yourself, go fuck yourself. We did okay.
It's funny how I'm not a lot of the things I used to be, but I'm still that core person, and I'm proud of it. I don't know. You know, last week, 2 weeks ago, the owner of the Clippers got in trouble. It's all over the news, the chick, the fucking dude. I like to see, you know, and everybody's like in shock, Danny, about that. This, they can't believe they said it. For once, I like to put cameras or tape recorders on people's minds to see what they really fucking thought. You know, to see what they really thought.
That would be great. Yeah,
and it's like,
I know. Go ahead, buddy.
Go ahead, buddy. I'm sorry.
No, you're right, man. I know when people are looking at me, I know deep down what they're thinking. I know they can smile, and I know what they're fucking thinking 90% of the time. Hey, listen, everybody's got a bit of prejudice in one way or the other. You know what he said? I wasn't there. You weren't there. I mean, I don't even know the guy. I don't give a fuck. But listen, it's part of life. It's fucking part of life. You know, people are always going to have their opinions. People are going to say this and that. But as far as the life ban, I don't know if that was necessary. Personally, I think they got a little carried away with the sanctions. But you got to watch what you say when you're in position, Coco. You don't have to. You can walk on a stage and tell somebody to go suck your dick and get away with it.
But Danny,
that's where I'd rather
Danny,
be.
If you put a tape recorder in my house, you're going to hear the same shit you hear on the podcast. And the same with you. The same with you, Danny.
You think I call my kids honey? You think I call them sweet? Listen, I'm a good parent, but in my house, I'm real, just like I am in life. My kids know. They know when daddy's got a game on to stay the fuck away. They know when I'm in a good mood. I am who I am. We don't change. People don't. They might get a little better, but we don't change. You have your same values. You are always good people. You're always good people that got dealt a pretty rough hand in life. But again, look where you are now. You're traveling. You got your little soldiers everywhere. Just happy to. I've seen their faces. They love you.
I love them. I love them, Danny.
I've seen it. I've seen it firsthand many times. And it's such. And I'm so happy when I see. Listen, you've always been funny. To see you on stage, it's something I've seen my whole life. But these guys, when I see how they embrace you, that makes me happy. Because you're getting the love that you really never had. You know, your mom loved you, obviously, but you had a rough life. But, you know, you never change. You're still who you are.
I'm surrounded.
Now you're a daddy.
Except for the Flying Jew and people I've handpicked that have come into my life out here, I am surrounded with people that I see them and I drive home and I go, how do these people live with themselves? Because 80% of what they put out is just bullshit. 80%. I tell you what, I'm walking around, I put out 10% bullshit. Maybe I don't know about something. Maybe I have no knowledge. I'm speaking fucking, negligently about something. But I'm not claiming to be the smartest guy in the world. What you see is what you see. I don't even know how half these people in L.A. could live with themselves. They must cry themselves to sleep every night, praying and hoping nobody really sees the real them. I don't give a fuck. I want people to see the real me, because if you don't get something from... Listen, we grew up with some fucked up people, but I took little things from them. As fucked up as... Mike Ronnie is one of the most fucked up people I ever had around my life, but he came into my life at the perfect time because he showed me that he didn't give a fuck.
Right.
And that nothing matters if you don't give a fuck. Nothing really changes. People get to know that you don't give a fuck, and either the people that don't give a fuck come to you, the people that are worried about what people have to say, they stay clear of you. It's like my comedy career, bro. I don't get invited to do nothing, Danny. Danny, it's hilarious. And I sit back and I tell the Flying Jew, I'll call the Flying Jew and go, watch this. They're not going to ask me or they're going to do this. And Danny, it's hysterical, and I don't know, and it's for many reasons. One, because, I kidnapped the motherfucker and put him in the trunk of a car. That always scares certain people. Two, I told some motherfucker here. Like, people are still mad at me in the industry because I went to a wake, Danny, and somebody was there who used to torture this person in their real life, and I raised my hand for this person and told him to get the fuck out. That's why people are mad at me, because I told the truth.
Well, The truth hurts, brother man. The truth hurts. I'm so honest with you that it hurts at times, but it is the way it is. People can't handle. They can't handle the truth.
They really can't.
That's so true.
They really fucking can. These fucking mutts out here, you know, they'll do shit to look. I mean, I have so many people that come up to me and hug me, and it's like they're all Judases. I could feel the Judas hug, and I just laugh. Because I know that someday they're going to have to suck my dick. Like at the end of War Pigs, when Jesus laughing spreads his, Satan laughing spreads his wings. That, every time I hear that line, I'm not a big Satan guy. But I like that fucking line because at the end you're going to suck my fucking dick. Because if I know you're a Judas, I'll play you along. I'll play you along. I'll play that Judas hand. And then it starts, you know what it makes me think? Like these people are all undercover cops. They all live their life like undercover fucking cops because you don't know who the fuck they are. I'm so proud. I went to jail. I'm so proud I turned out to be a comic. I'm so proud I have faults. I'm so proud I used to pick my face when I was coked up to fucking because I hated myself. That's why I got scars. I hated myself. But I'm so proud that I am who the fuck I am. I am so fucking proud of that. All these books on parenting and all these fucking Gentiles with their bullshit and their kids. And you know what? Your kids grew up to be fucking holograms of a human fucking being. They're going to grow up to have a goatee, a Sinatra hat, a fucking Prius, a fucking Chihuahua, a fucking tattoo, a Starbucks, and texting to their friends about gluten. That's what they're all going to fucking be. And they're proud with themselves.
You're killing me, bro.
Me? I'd rather be me or you or the flying fucking Jew. Salute the flag, motherfuckers.
Hey, listen, man. You know what? The worst offense is the family. My family especially, you know. There's a handful of them. You know how I feel about James and Greg, but take that out of the equation. They're all haters. You know, my wife, you know, they're jealous about my wife because she comes from a rough background, Phillipsburg, you know. Phillipsburg, you know, it's a poor town, and she's got the big house. Her family's jealous. We have four people that's all that matters to me, right here in this house, because that's all that really cares. That's all that really matters. I have no relationship with anybody in my family other than what's in this house, really, Coco. It's because they're envious. Why is he, how did he get out of this? You know what? Because I never took fucking no for an answer. And I went to jail. You know what? You're right. I'm glad I went to jail.
I'm blessed that I went to jail. These motherfuckers.
It saved my life.
Half of these motherfuckers belong in jail for fucking being faggots. They should all fucking go to jail for walking around and not being themselves. I think that's the biggest felony you could be, is being a fucking fake. That's the biggest felony in life. If I was a cop, I'd just arrest motherfuckers for being fake motherfuckers, man. It drives me crazy.
You know what I love, Coco? You know, we got this little, social club, whatever. It's a nice little joint. Thursday night, you got all these wannabes, the real estate guys, trying to close people. You know what I hate? These fucking business guys that make fucking 80 grand a year and they walk around like they're hot shit, always talking business, always fucking marketing. There are the fakest ones out there. You know what? You got me going, man. You got me fucking going.
It's Monday. Now I'm on a mission. That's what I'm supposed to fucking do. It's Monday. You can do anything today. Stop being a fucking fake. Rip that fucking goatee off your face and take that Sinatra hat and throw it away. Take your dick out and go, fuck it. I'm slinging dick. Right. Fuck what anybody. Let the pieces fall where the fuck they may, dog.
So that's what I do. You know, that's how I can carry myself. I don't really give a fuck. You know, I know who I am. I know my morals. I know I'm the same guy that I was years ago. I was always kind-hearted. I just, you know, got wise, and I kind of blocked out a lot of shit.
You have to.
Yeah, bud.
You have to block it out. I've lost more fucking friends the last 2 years than I've had. Like, but they're all friends from out here, which they come and fucking go. You know, you call these people and it's just hilarious to me. It's just, I hear, like when I go to towns, people come up to me and go, hey man, is that, I was telling Lee last night that people go, oh man, that guy's really cool. But I see, you know, you have to see people what the fuck they are. These people get confused by all the words that come out of your mouth. And not people's actions. They don't, and that's why I come on this podcast, and I've opened myself up. I've opened it up to let people know. These bitches that are talking to you, they're talking to you from $1 million fucking house. They're talking to you from $1 million house, telling you about fucking life. I'm telling you, I still live in a fucking 2-bedroom that I rent, and I love it because I'm still in the fucking heart of the game, man. I'm in the heart of the fucking game.
You know what, though, Coco? You know, life's simpler that way. We have the big house and all that, but we don't need it. Me and my family would be just as happy in a three-bedroom anywhere USA, as long as we're together. And I have to work still. I have it good. I have it better than most, but I have to work. I have to wake up every day, just like you. And you're probably one of the hardest working comics out there. Every Thursday on the fucking road, tweeting, doing this, writing. You go home, you do comedy. I mean, who does it harder than you? Nobody.
I never want to sit here and cry. I'm sick and tired of listening to America cry and people cry. Everybody cries. When you have an opportunity, jump on. Well, I don't really want to work 70 hours. I have a family. Fuck you and your fucking family. You're not going to have a fucking family if you don't fucking work and go out there. Well, I want to be a good human being. I want to have time for life. What fucking life? What life? What life?
You know, I don't have it. You think that when I got guys that work for me, you know, during football, baseball, they help out, and then they want to go see their kids play baseball on Saturday. You know, that's great and everything. I haven't had a Saturday or a Sunday to myself since I was in jail. That was it. And I've been working every Saturday, Sunday, holidays, because I have to take care of mine. So when I got guys that come to me and say, I'd like to go see my kid, well, go ahead, but just don't come fucking back, because the day I can leave to go watch my kid play, then you can do it. You know what I'm saying, Coco?
Yeah. Oh, no. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to fucking die. I say it all the fucking time. Every day I say that. I don't know how these fucking people expect to do anything in their fucking lives, because everybody wants to do this, this, and this, and this, but nobody wants to jump into the fucking waters. Everybody wants to do it from a fucking... And I see it all the time. Me and Lee talk about it. I'll call Lee and go, Lee, did you see what happened today? I don't know what you know. Look at this guy. We gave him this 3 months, nothing. He hasn't done a fucking, this is the same guy that'll call you and cry or put, well, I don't have time to be on the computer all day, but you got time to fucking cry. You got time to live your life how you've been living it, you know?
Yeah.
Then you get mad at other people.
You got to work it, bro. You've done it. You know, nobody gave you jack shit. You know, they seen you on TV. They seen you with Adam Sandler. Guess what? You still got to work your ass off, you know? That's the way it is.
And Danny, you know, Bob, I wish they would have seen me before Adam Sandler. I wish there was a way God could send me a clip of when I lived with Fernie in 1983.
Fernie? And my God, I miss him. I miss
no
Fernie.
Shit.
I haven't seen... Fernie's a good man.
Fernie would work, and I would leave his house at 8:30. I would go to the Achardi's, and I would get breakfast on the arm. Whatever it was, $6, 3 eggs, bacon, toast. And I would ask Mr. Charlie for a $20 advance. I wouldn't even pay for breakfast. I'd go, can I get $20 a draw? Can you imagine that? Going to eat breakfast and asking the waiter to give you $20 and putting your fucking... So he would make me sign the $20, the $6 breakfast. I'd give him a $10 tip, and I'd say, I'll be back here by 5 to give you $36. And with that 20, I had to go out and figure it out. So I had to take a number one bus downtown and go around the old neighborhood and see who was dealing drugs, who left the window open. You know, people have no fucking
Hillside
idea.
The 22 Hillside. I remember taking that bus. You know, that's true, too. A lot of people fucking, oh, man, we can talk all day. You can talk about some of these people. Achardi, you said, that's a name that, I saw Mikey Achardi a couple of years ago in Hoboken. He owns a bunch of clubs down there. I don't know if you've...
Yeah, no, I know all about those guys. But it's the fucking, think of these people, think if you had a video of your life from 1987 when I was bringing guns to you and you were giving me powder back to take back to Colorado when I get to your house. And we think about if these people really saw that shit. You know, a lot of people get mad at me, Danny, and they go, oh, you bring people up from your past and these kids you grew up with, that you're living in your past. You know why I do this, you fucking jerkos? To show you that I'm not bullshitting you motherfuckers. How many other fucking podcast people could put people on from their high school to tell you motherfuckers at home how they really were in high school? How many? How many of these fucking dudes that come on the podcast and act like Johnny Banana could really call their friends from high school and grammar school and say, tell these motherfuckers what they don't know? That's why I have these fucking savages on, you fucking cocksuckers. Sorry about that,
Danny.
Well,
you know what? Yeah, that's okay. Get biblical. You have every right. It's your show. No, but you're right. They don't know. They don't know. I have stored footage in my mind of many nights with you, with Russo, Claire, Gary, my brother. And you're right, it is a fucking movie. You know what? If somebody was to fucking film us all night long from 9 o'clock at night to the 2 o'clock stage, 4 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock, peeking out the windows, running around, getting in a cab, going to New York, robbing somebody, coming... You know, it was fucking bizarre.
Robbing somebody and coming right back and partying.
I remember Joey fucking... What's the name? Ciccarelli. Joey Ciccarelli. He fucking... Out of nowhere, we called him Inspector Gadget. He looked like fucking Inspector Gadget. This fucking motherfucker would jump in a cab at 7 o'clock in the morning, go rob fucking... Come back with 50 or 60 vials of crack, fucking blood all over him. And, you know, they wanted it, and they got it. But, yeah, I mean... I don't know how I get into Ciccarelli there, but anyway,
let me tell you
something. It was fucking crazy times, man. Crazy times. No, they wouldn't believe it. You have
they wouldn't believe it. And that's why I put you on. That's why I put Timmy Holloway on. And anybody else that calls me and go, I want to come on. I want to show you people where I am now and where I was then. So you motherfuckers know you could do this. This is all bullshit that they try to put fear in your hearts and you can't turn your life. Fuck. Oh, how to turn your life around. Send me $9.95 a month. Go fuck yourself. You grab your balls. What? You got a knife. You make a fucking plan and you get out there and do it, motherfucker.
Well, here you go. 8 months, 2004. Jamie's 8 months pregnant. I'm worth millions of dollars. Life is going fucking smooth. It's like I used to drive around waiting for something bad to happen.
You have
you
to.
Know?
You have to.
And then I fucking, I remember the knock on the door, April 8th, 2004. James Schmidt upstairs. I'm thinking that they fucking, that he did something with the rent-a-car I got. Jamie's like, the cops are at the door. I'm like, the cops? I said, what the fuck did he do? Hope he didn't do anything with that call last night. Open up the door, there's guns to my head, fucking mass, 7 different agencies there, fucking stripped all the money out of my account, you know, lost everything. Everything that I worked hard for 10 years after I got it. Did I give up? No. I didn't give up. I did my 6 months of house arrest, my probation. I got back in the game, and I made my fucking millions back. And I lost some along the way, but I got right back on my horse, Coke. So all the guys, oh, he made millions, he made this, you know what? And I paid the fucking price along the way, too. But ultimately, my ultimate reward was what I got now.
And you
my
never, ever, ever sold your soul like these motherfuckers.
Fuck no.
That's the other thing. What about that dude that was tweeting us, talking about, oh, you're friends with Danny, he did time. What did you do? You sucked a dick. And I'm supposed to take your word for granted with that sperm breath. Get the fuck out of my face, you fucking cocksucker.
Oh, dude, not for nothing. That guy was a nut.
Oh, they're all a nut. I get them. Danny, I get people fucking hit me once a day. I wake up sometimes to emails that are horrible and I laugh. Because you thought about this all night. You thought about this all night to write me to call me a fat fucking felon. Who gives? I'm proud that I'm a fucking felon. It taught.
Fuck
I don't give
you
a
fuck.
Fuck.
You know what I say? Fuck you. How many times and how many times were you in a movie with Bobby fucking De Niro, Sylvester Stallone, Adam Sandler? So how can anybody have anything negative to say about you? You're the most.
No, they have to.
Guy.
They have to. Listen, it's in your nature,
it's
brother.
Fucking crazy.
It's in your.
Fuck
and I don't even give a fuck about the De Niro Stallone shit. That doesn't
you're
make me a man.
Angry.
What
you're
makes
angry
me a
here.
Fucking man, Danny, is the journey. And that's what people don't understand. That's what people don't understand is the journey and how you hold yourself up as a fucking man. You know what? I never
correct.
Sold my soul. You know what? I did my time. They came to me and said,
yeah,
if you roll on this guy in Aspen, we'll take, fuck it, bro. I don't even know that mentality. I'll take my chance because I didn't do nothing. There's no fingerprints. The dude was in the trunk of a car and I wasn't there. Who gives a fuck? You want to do something to me? In fact, I called him last night. I called Vella last night and left him a message. I love Kent Vella. I really do. I'm sorry about that day. But it just goes to show you sometimes, you know, life duplicates movies.
We make mistakes.
Sometimes.
You know what, though? But that's the thing. Dignity, man. I got in trouble. Same with you. I could have rolled on people. I could have took down Frank Jumper and all of those fucking guys that they wanted me to roll on and that knocked on the day. Fuck that. You know what? If I didn't go to prison, I would have been dead anyway. So
speaking of prison, what do we hear
life?
From Gary?
We don't hear nothing.
I've been getting emails about Gary. I get an email about Gary once a week.
Well, you know what? We haven't had no contact, any of us. I think the last letter came in right around Christmas time. He's got to finish his first sentence, which I think was another 3.5 years. And I don't know if they convicted him yet on the other crime, the last bank robbery. But doesn't look good for the home team, Coke. He's probably going to... And I think that's where he wanted
to
be.
No, that's where he wanted
to
be. That's where he wanted to be.
I think that we wanted it more than he did. He came out. He was overwhelmed. He saw what I have. My cousin Michael does okay. And he was like, he felt out of place here. He felt like, I don't belong here. He spent 20 years, his whole adult life. He was never right in the head to begin with. So I feel that he wanted to, because all he kept saying is, I just want to go to the beach. I'm like, was that your goal when you got out of jail to go? The first day he got out, that I saw him anyway, he was telling me he wanted to take down some fucking drug lord, break him out of a federal prison in Tennessee, that there's a $30 million reward on him. I'm like, so this guy's got all that money and they pick you? You, out of all the people that they can approach in prison to break a guy. So I'm saying, so what's the plan? He goes, well, he's on chemo, so we're going to find out when his doctor hours are, and we're going to intercept him. I said, so we're going to, how are we going to do this? So I'm just playing along. So I knew right out the door, Coke, that he didn't. So I said, let's go. Let's go get you a good lunch, because I figured that might be his last. So I kind of knew out the door that Gary, he didn't have long for, his time. You know, and what do you make it, 6 months, if that? I think that's about it. He made about 6 months.
How's baseball season treating you?
Baseball? You know what? I had a good run. Last week I got some manners slapped on me. It happens. I had a bad run last week. We snapped out of it a little bit, but hit and miss. It's been a tough playoffs. The second round's been better than the first round. First round was fucking crazy. Yeah. Dogs, dogs, and dogs. But baseball is baseball. It's a long season. Ups and down, and I think we're like 4 or 5 games over 500 for the year. It's not, we're not lighting it up, we're not getting hurt, but it's a series of runs, man. It's just, it's not easy. I'm dealing with a lot of good guys now, so I'm networking, but yeah, baseball is baseball. We do well. You know, I'm fucking hoping the Mets win a fucking World Series here sometime soon, but
are they good?
I don't really know. So what else is up with you, brother?
Are they any good, really, the Mets?
Huh?
Are the Mets any good?
Well, you know, I'm always a Mets. I'm fucking, I always remember. You remember Jose Canonico?
Yeah, with the thick glasses.
Yeah, tough kid. Yeah, he owed me some loot for a long time. I'm up at Hashway's fucking getting some fucking booze and whatever, milk or whatever, and I'm gone longer than I'm supposed to be. I fucking come back. My mother's like, yeah, Canonico was just here. I'm like, Canonico? He owes me the money. She goes, no, she was going to take you to Game 6 of the World Series. So, the Mets. Getting back to the Mets, the last time they did anything productive was 86. But, yeah, speaking of Canonico, yeah, he had tickets for Game 6, and I just wasn't home. Probably was snorting with Hashway and missed fucking Game 6 because of that. But the Mets, Yankees, Mets, I don't know. I had Torrey on my show. That was pretty cool. Had a chance to talk to Mike Torrey. He's a good old boy. Jason Abramowitz is pretty good friends with him.
They came for the shows in Florida. They brought Torrey with them.
Oh, got, really?
Yeah, nice guy. Very nice guy.
Very nice. You know, it was shocking. Very, very shocking how nice and genuine he was, and you know, had a good time. We got pretty hammered. I went out to that baseball dinner. That was a nice experience, man. If anybody out there, you like your baseball, anybody can buy a general ticket. You go to that baseball writers thing in New York, Coco. It's wonderful. You get all the celebrities there, all the baseball greats. Hank Aaron made me cry. You know, it's just a nice time, man. But you know, I've always loved baseball, Coco.
Always,
that's my passion.
You
bro.
And
I
all the boys,
it.
And you used to go to Shea Stadium and fucking Yankee Stadium and bring 20 people with you. Danny, where can they find you? Danny B Wins still.
I don't even know my shit no more. On Twitter, it's Danny Wins for You or something like that. I mean,
Danny B Wins. And then you offering any plans this week for baseball?
Nah, you know, I just got my regular stuff. I'm kind of like, you know what, Coco? I'm not really pushing much right now. I'm just doing my thing, you know, and this is the time of year. They can go to my website, DannyWinsForYou.com, check it out. But I'm not really pushing much. I'm making some changes, that's why. I'm in the process of getting a website with like 5 or 6 good handicappers and just kind of being the pitch man for it. I'm getting burnt out with this. I want to take a different, I want to find some time for myself because I, you know, I'm getting up there. And so I'm thinking about networking where I get a website and I recruit 5 or 6 top guys in the business and, you know, just trying to do something a little different, something to shake it up a little bit because I'm a radio guy, Coke, but I'm missing all of this fucking internet shit. Guys are making $200,000 or $300,000 a month selling the internet. It's crazy.
We gotta figure something out. I love you, cocksucker. And we'll call talk again. this week. I just want to talk to you about manhood and what the fuck we've put together and how you're one of the few guys, you, Jimmy Valano, a couple guys, man. You see these guys,
I miss them.
Still fucking men. And I got to come out here and deal with these fucking
mooks. You've been promising. Stay with me. We'll go down in the stands, have a good time, and that would be nice. I miss Jimmy Valano. He was a stand-up
guy.
I haven't seen Jimmy in 25, 30
years. I grew up with a lot
of
good people. Now I'm surrounded with these fucking soul fucking salesmen. I love you, cocksucker. Stay black.
Yeah, you. Thanks for having me, man.
Always. I just wanted to talk to you. I had a good time with you yesterday. I love you, cocksucker.
Yeah, I got you, bro. Give the wife and kid a kiss and all that stuff. Lee, take care. Thanks for having me, my friends. And,
love you.
Make it a good day.
You too, buddy. Thank you for the balls today.
You got it, brother.
Bye-bye. That's how the fuck we do it, Lee. I'm just getting sick and tired of these fake motherfuckers, Lee.
I'm so high. I picture that entire conversation like you were in like an old Italian restaurant, both wearing like wife beaters and you had spaghetti and meatballs, and it's flying the entire time.
Fuck it.
Jimmy Cagucci.
It's fucking Monday,
that's
motherfuckers.
All I am, man.
I'm not going to let you go out there half fucked up. You got to go out there with some nuts. Tell these motherfuckers to suck your dick. You got a dream and it's bigger than that fucking dream. Let me give some shout outs to my main man, Andy Huggy Bear Allen. Keep fucking fighting, you bad motherfucker. Noah's Ark. What? Simon Patau. Sandman, I love you. Tracy, stay in the fight. And Billy Anderson, you're a bad motherfucker. You understand me? Talking about bad motherfuckers. I went on stage the other night and mixed the Matt Brown fight. And then I came out all on Twitter. And then last night I got home and it was on. I taped it. I taped it yesterday and I watched it. Two fucking times. You know, I'm going to call Matt Brown today. He's got to be on the show Wednesday. But I'm going to try my hardest to get him on because I cried when I watched that.
Yeah.
I cried over the patience. I cried over the balls. I cried over his never say die fucking attitude. And when I see that, I know that I'm on to the right thing. There's still people that have that. You're going to have to fucking kill me to take me out. It's like me with comedy. I don't give a fuck no more about these people. I'm going for it, Lee. I'm going for it.
Do it.
I'm done. I'm done with these motherfuckers. You know, so that's it. That's why today's podcast is a little on the powerful side. I'm a little sick and tired. And I know people at home, sometimes you get sick and tired of shit. It's time to fucking pick it up. If these motherfuckers don't give you the respect and the love you deserve, you know, as a human being, that you're a nice person, then you got to go back to basics and take it from them. And that's the old-fashioned way. So we're going for it with the church. I'm just letting you motherfuckers know. Let's start with our fucking sponsor. Hey, wait, we're talking about Matt Brown here. What the fuck was it getting
what
emotional?
What the fuck,
here?
Dude?
The fuck, dude? No, that was tremendous. And the kid Silva, my heart goes out to him.
Because
he took 80 fucking knees to the head, and he never went down. Towards the end, you had to go down. I mean, that kid's got a headache today. That kid can't think straight. He's not going to think straight for a week. It's a shame, but Silva put his heart out there.
I'd never heard of him before.
Yeah. He's been around, and he's one of these guys that he's fucking great. I mean, those liver kicks, and he kept getting them with him, those stomach kicks.
Yeah.
He's great with his fucking legs. His jiu-jitsu's great. It just wasn't great enough for Matt Brown. So Matt Brown's a soldier, but fucking Eric Silva, I give him my heart too, man. That was a great fight. You know, the UFC has some fucked up fights coming on, but that one was good. That one was really fucking good. And it just, now you know why I had him on the podcast. You know, let's talk about something that, I have a lot of fear in my daily life, and sometimes I get intimidated. But sometimes I get intimidated, and I go, what the fuck is wrong with me? Fuck this motherfucker. I bumped into Matt Brown elevator once. I never shit my pants that much. His energy is real. Like, his energy is intense, and it leaks out of his pores. But I know people who are intense for wrong reasons. He's intense for all the fucking right reasons, because the energy goes somewhere. It goes into his gloves, which gets punched into your fucking head. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people have that weird energy, but they can't do nothing with it.
Yeah.
He lets it go, and he boils it up. At the end, he brought his fucking twin boys up there.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Matt Brown, and I thought he called out everybody. I thought he was going to call out Johnny Hendricks, his barber. You know, this guy, that guy. Fuck it. Yeah, when you're on that much of a row, you just start calling motherfuckers out. The barber, the guy who trims his beard.
That's seven in a row, right?
Seven in a row.
Wow.
What
you
the fuck is
that.
Going on? Who's
we're going to have to put soundproofing in the window, but it's okay.
I didn't know they have construction now. Every fucking place we go to early in the morning got some fucking dilemma.
Fuck.
Now I got the Constructual Brothers next to me. What the fuck? Anyway, I was having a hard time sleeping on the road. I had a hard time sleeping last week. My sleep comes and goes. I'm tired in the daytime. Sometimes I drink green tea at night, and it keeps me up even after I fall asleep. Like, I'll fall asleep from being tired. But the green tea, the caffeine stays in me and shit, and I don't even know what the fuck I was talking about. So I got home yesterday, and I wasn't jet-lagged. The fucking flight I flew back from Santa Fe from was one of those Wright Brother planes, those little La Bamba planes.
Oh, you were hating it. You were
so... Oh, my God. I put my iPod on, I closed my eyes, and put the fucking hooded sweatshirt over my head, and I just cried. That's all I could do on those La Bamba flights, because you think the fucking... And something about Santa Fe that I don't want to forget, that I had a really good time, was the guy who ran the place, Zach.
Okay.
I deal with a lot of fucking managers, a lot of people in the business. This guy was the top of his game. And when I tell you, this young man was at the top of his fucking game. I don't know what his last name was. I just know him as Zach. I know he's half Spanish, and he's one of the elders on the tribe.
What made him so great?
His positiveness, how good he was as a manager, reflected how good he was as a leader. I could see how people respected him. He was on the money with us from A to Z. There was no stone... Anything we wanted, we could have had. I mean, anything. It was just a matter of time. You know, he was that much. The food I had in Santa Fe, New Mexico, at that casino was so fucking good.
What do you have?
Like authentic Mexican food from the Southwest, like that part. Because there's different styles of Mexican food by region.
Okay.
Especially in this country. There's the Colorado, Denver, New Mexico style with the green chili. There's the stuff you get here in San Diego. And then there's the stuff you eat in Mexico, you know. You know, and every when you go to Chicago, their tacos are different. You know, the highest concentration of Mexican people are not the Southwest. It's above Michigan.
Really?
Yeah, Michigan has one of the highest concentrations of Mexican people. When I do shows out there, Latino Fest and shit like that, the food was outrageous. But none of the Mexican food I love, because I was in Colorado 15 years, so it's all green chili based. And I fucking love it. And then you have the Tex-Mex. You know, that's, I'm sorry. You have the Tex-Mex, which we'll be fucking tearing down this fucking week.
Oh, shit.
With Papacitos and all the fucking joints. I got another buddy taking us to a more authentic place. We're going to Papa Do's. We're going down, baby. You know, we won't have a time to go to Chewy's. We just don't have that much in us.
Right.
And I'm not going to be smoking weed till Saturday, so the appetite will not be there. We're going to get somebody to stand on line for us while we go get some edibles.
Oh, shit.
Go get some barbecue. You'll be eating edibles from midnight. You'll be on probation edibles. After this week, you get your stripe back.
Oh, God.
After this Monday, you get your stripe back. But what I was trying to say was, with all the sleeping and all that shit, when I came home yesterday, I was sitting there a little confused. I knew I had the baby in the afternoon. I knew I had to do things with the family. And I took an on-it turnaround 180.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something, guys. My day was fucking made. On-it just keeps getting better and better and better with their products. I went on their webpage last night. I mean, every time I go on their webpage, I learn something. I read about something. There's something on there that I could be using. Maybe it's not the alpha brain. Maybe it's the digestive enzymes. Maybe it's their kettlebells, the plain ones. You don't even have to get the other ones. They have plain ones for you. And if you look at weight, that it's not a bad deal because you have to ship them. Onnit has so many good things for you, so many healthy things for you. You know, my knees hurt. I take the strong bone, you know. It has so many fucking things for you, man. Go to Onnit.com. Go to Onnit.com. See what they have. Start with the Alpha Brain. You're having trouble in your running. You're having trouble with jiu-jitsu. You're having trouble with basketball. You're in a league. You don't think you have the endurance. Try the Shroom Tech Sport. Just try it. Go to Onnit.com. Press what?
Church.
Church. Go to Onnit.com or go to JoeyDiaz.net and go to my box, press church, and then order what the fuck you want. Get 10% off. Get put on the list and you're part of the Onnit family. Try everything. It's got a money-back guarantee. Go to Onnit.com. Also, Dollar Shave Club. Did you see how many things we got on Twitter this week that people could receive the Dollar Shave Club?
One guy got a pin for being there for fucking forever.
Let me tell you something. Dollar Shave Club, people, you do what the fuck you want. You want to keep fucking getting fucked up razors and all of it? Go. Go. Be my help. I'm trying to save you some Gitas. I'm trying to give you more money so you can smoke reefer at the fucking end of the week. I'm trying to save you a couple fucking dollars. $1, $6, or $9 is all the packages cost, and it gets delivered to your house. No gas, no paperwork, no nothing, no phone calls. They'll send you an email to let you know it's coming so you can look out for it. You get your razors sent to your house, whether you order one wipe Charlie's or the shaving butter, that's your prerogative. All I want you to do is try the Dollar Shave Club. Go to Dollar Shave, go to joydiaz.net, go to Dollar Shave Club box, press.
Church.
Then pick the option you want. $1 gets you four blades a month.
It's two, I think it's 2, 3, and 4.
So, guys, you cannot fucking lose. I live with this shit every fucking day. I love it. I take it on the road with me. I love it. The handle is tough. It's strong. Dollar Shave Club. Go to joeydiaz.net. Go to Dollar Shave Club. Press what?
Church.
And be a part of this shit. I get tweets every day. Go on my wall. You can look for yourself. People always thank you for the patch and the fucking letter, and thank you for Dollar Shave Club. Well, thank you for Hulu Plus. I ain't fucking around either when it comes to Hulu Plus. 2 weeks for free. I'm talking about tremendous fucking movies. I even had to write them down because I can't believe it sometimes. From fucking Modern Family. I mean, just the dramas. Revenge, The Sleepy Hollow, Nashville, Castle, Chicago Fire, fucking kids shows, SpongeBob, Sam and Cat, fucking comedy, Modern Family, Saturday Night Live, South Park, The Colbert Report, Bob's Burgers, reality, you got Shark Tank, Kitchen fucking Nightmares, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you got documentaries, you got fucking sports, you got Latino, enough, you got animation, go now, HuluPlus.com, what are you pressing the box?
You press Joey.
Joey, J-O-E-Y, you get 2 weeks gratis, 2 weeks on the arm, 2 weeks for free. Try it out. Fucking sit there till your ass grows roots. Watch everything. Tell me it's not worth $7.99 a month after that, and I'll tell you to suck my dick and call me shorty. I was born in 1940. Go to Hulu Plus right now. Why fuck around? What's the fucking code?
Joey.
Joey, get 2 weeks on the arm. You can see everything. All the shows I fucking told you, all right? Also, to my brothers at escapepodtank.com, making it fucking happen. What they did was they got the Just Tank. And they're going to give you, what the fuck they're going to give you? $250, okay? Just off, no, $150 off the Just the Tank model. Go to fucking escapepodtank.com. Go to their webpage. Read what they have to offer you. You got a question? Go to the 1-800 line. Call Jeremy direct. Jeremy, I'm thinking about this fucking isolation tank, you know, Epsom salt. What? Talk to fucking the guy. You've thought about it. You go float around with these tubs with these people that whack off in there. And now you got to soak in Epsom salt and somebody's sperm sticks to your fucking neck. You don't need that shit. Do this in your house. You don't have to get fucking somebody's fungus. Call Jeremy. 1-800. Go to fucking escapepodtank.com. Just for mentioning us. Let me put it this way. The tanks they have are high quality. Tremendous. Now, if you go to any other tank companies and look what they got to offer you, you're going to save $2,000 to $3,000 with Escape Pod Tank. What they're going to do for you today and every fucking day is when you go, just look at the Just a Tank model. They're going to give you $150 off that alone. If you mention the church, Joey Diaz, Joey's balls, Lee's asshole, the Israeli flag, booyah, you get $250 off. They'll deliver to your house. It's going to cost you a little extra dough. If you want them to come out and fucking install it, you could. You can have somebody locally install it. Whatever you do, go for Escape Pod Tank. What I do with you, these are not sponsors. I'm trying to save you motherfuckers money, all right? Get your shit together. EscapePodTank.com, on it. Hulu fucking plus. And what's the
Dollar Shave
Club. Dollar Shave Club, I'm sorry. I got a little fucking confused. So what did you learn today? You know what we learned today? Who the fuck are you? Who the fuck are you? 80% of you, you fucking bullshitting yourself? And trying to bullshit the fucking people around you by getting, I got a tattoo, look at me, I'm cool. Cool. What the fuck? What is the word fucking cool? When I was a kid, it was a fucking, the big thing was to be a fucking man, to sling dick with three hands. What's this? That's cool. What the fuck is wrong with you? You fucking maggots. This is America. Get it together, cocksuckers. What else, Lee? What do you got? I mean, why live with yourself if you're a fucking phony? How can you live with yourself? You gotta be scared. They're gonna find out I'm weak. I don't know. What the fuck? Just be yourself. If they don't like it, tell them to suck your dick. Who gives a fuck? That's what the church is all about. Telling people to suck your dick and doing what the fuck you want to. I'm not going to show up here with these guests that are better than you. I don't need that shit. Nobody's fucking better than you people. You people are better than half these motherfuckers on these podcasts trying to talk down to you. And meanwhile, they sit in their fucking million-dollar homes fanning their dicks. What the fuck do they know about the struggle? What the fuck do they know about fear or fucking having fucking addictions or having problems? That's what puts us together as this fucking army that we are. We're the big dick army of this fucking country. What, Lee, motherfucker? What'd you say, cocksucker?
Nothing. I there's nothing I can follow that up with. I like big dick army, though.
You like that? The big dick army. And it's not having a big dick. It's having a lot of fucking heart and balls. You know what I'm saying? Like Matt Brown and Silva and shit. What's up, Lee? What are your plans for the day? You done for the day? What are
no,
you
I got Rick Ramos tonight.
What movies you talking about?
I don't know. He changed it up. I have to call him. He had a couple options. I saw a movie over the weekend. I saw that new Neighbors one.
What'd you think, brother?
It was actually pretty funny. It was actually pretty funny. It's not, but it's, we talk about it a lot where it's funny, hee hee ha ha, but it won't stand up. I won't watch it in 5 years, but for that one, for that 2 hours in the movie theater, yeah, it was pretty good.
Listen, you go to a movie for it to take you away. That's why I don't, I always tell you I can't go to the movies in the daytime because I'm not taken away.
Yeah.
I'm focusing on, I should be doing something constructive. I should, movies for me, like I said, I got 2-3 hours and it takes you away for 2-3 hours. The best thing is when you go to a movie and it's fucking great.
Yeah.
It's great. You forgot about why the fuck you went in there. The worst thing is when a movie's so bad, you feel worse than you did when you went in there.
Yeah.
And that's what happens to me fucking 6 out of 10 times when I go to the fucking movies. I try to watch the other shit, you know what I'm saying? But, what else did you do this week? You saw The Girlfriend?
Saw The Girlfriend last night.
You went to Porto. What kind of cake did they give you?
Tres Leches. That's what her mom
makes. Tres Leches. What did it taste like? Tres Leches.
It's pretty good. I haven't had it that much, but it's kind of weird, like you're not, because it's like they soak it in milk. I don't know how they get the milk in there. It's like evaporated milk.
Evaporated milk. You like
but it? But it was pretty, it's fucking sweet. But yeah, it was good. And it's, I can't tell you how important it is for guys out there and what a difference it makes when a girl's parents like you. Like, how important is it for you? Because I'm sure, were Terry's parents cool with you from the beginning? Or how did that process go?
Listen, man, I've never been with a woman that her parents liked me from day one. I've never been like with the girl in high school, her parents liked me. Yeah, but we're 18, 16. At that age, they really don't know what you become. You know, they really don't know. It's funny because the parents I had when I got married the first time,
yeah.
Kathy, I could tell the mother liked me. The mother could see what I had gone through on my face, but the father didn't like me. I didn't blame him, you know. That's his fucking daughter.
Yeah.
I was with them for 2 years before he reacted to me, the father. You know when he reacted to me?
When?
When I went to prison. When I got locked up for kidnapping. I was in jail for a few days. He came to see me and he asked me what happened. I told him the truth. And he bailed me out. He put the bail up and he told me that this is the things I had to do. He helped me a lot, Lee. I haven't spoken to Ray in 20 years, my old father-in-law. I haven't spoken to Ray since 1991, 23 years. I'm going to tell you something. There's not a week that goes by I don't think about him. And I'm going to tell you something else. There's not a week that goes by that he doesn't think about me. That's how much we loved each other after that initial. You don't. You never know what it's going to take people to react.
Yeah.
Know? Once I got locked up, he watched me like if I was one of his own sons. And I did become one of his own sons. And a couple of weeks ago, we did a thing about role models. And I should have brought him up. Because he really was there for me. He was the one that, he was a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force. And he had worked with young men. And I could see his disappointment from his own sons. His own sons didn't do what he wanted them to do. They became successful and they became roofers and whatnot. But he wanted them, he was a Polish immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he changed, he worked hard in the service to overcome that thing of, you know, changing light bulbs, being a Polak, you know how many Polaks, and he was very proud of that, and that pride rubbed off on me. You know, so he was a very proud Polak. He never made jokes about Polaks. You know, he was very proud, and that inspired me. And I gotta tell you, man, there's times I go on Twitter or on Facebook or on Google, and I Google him, and I don't have the balls to call, just because I know what went on between him and his daughter after we had the divorce. And it would break my heart. I know things went on. I mean, our divorce was so strong and so painful that I know that's the part of why they moved and left. They didn't want nothing to do with it. They just wanted to retire and they just wanted to be out of it, you know. And someday I'll get the courage to call them. I'll get the balls to call them and say, thank you for what you did for me those 3 years. You taught me that I could go back to school. That's what I got from that guy. He taught me that I could go back to school. Which I never believed I was good enough for college. But he was like, I was a Polak. And I went to the University of Buffalo, and then I got my master's. This guy got his master's degree. And he got it to prove a point. You know, he knew 4 fucking languages.
Jesus.
My ex-wife was born in Germany. He was stationed in Germany. So he was very proud of that. And that inspired me. That always, always inspired me. I still remember his face when he was sitting on the other side of the visitation glass. I still remember his face and what I expected him to treat me like and what he treated me like, you know? And I'm really sorry that I let him down. But this is why I do this shit every day, to be better And this is what you do. You just get up and you fucking, someday I'll get the balls and call him. I can't believe he's still alive. I can't believe Ray's still alive. And the mother. I can't believe they're still alive. And I feel bad about what happened between him and the, you know. I mean, we went to war, man. He was scared. He was fucking scared. He got involved in it. We were going to shoot each other. I mean, it was bad. And he packed up. The last time I saw him, I had to hand him my, his granddaughter. I used to have visitation. I guess my ex-wife went away.
Yeah.
And she was, the granddaughter was staying with him. Let me tell you something. He was a guy that was in shape. He was always in shape, but he always had a couple drinks at night. He always had a couple gins on the rocks. And I never saw him drunk. That day when I handed him the baby, I saw him fucking drunk because he couldn't handle what was going on. I was his son, man. I had become his son, like I became a lot of people's sons. And part of me let him down, but the other part of me didn't, because I move forward. Every day when I do this shit, I think of Rick, you know? And maybe because of the power of the church, someday I'll fucking be able to call him. So we'll end it at that. I love you motherfuckers. Me and Lee, Austin, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the 15th through the 17th. And then Lee and I again up at the Ice House, May 27th. It's a Wednesday, and May 28th, I'm in San Diego at Harrah's. Get your tickets now. And then after that, the summer's going to be light. We're staying in. We're going to add some flavor to the fucking podcast. Wednesday, there'll be an American flag in here, so get ready to salute the flag before the fucking podcast. We're going back to the fucking flag. We're going back. That's it. I love you guys. Don't forget, we have another podcast Wednesday. If you need patches or T-shirts, go to joeydiaz.net. If you need Jew Radio T-shirts, go to
leesayat.com.
Have a great day, and I hope this podcast helped you as much as it helped me today. I love you, motherfuckers. Stay black.
Now that the show's over, don't forget to sign up for your free trial of Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to huluplus.com/joey or go to joeydiaz.net and click on the Hulu Plus banner. And don't forget to sign up for dollarshaveclub.com. Get high-quality razors sent to your door every month for a fraction of what you pay at retail. Now go to dollarshaveclub.com/church or just go to joeydiaz.net and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner. And go to escapepodtank.com to get your sensory deprivation tank. They're going to save you thousands, but if you mention Joey Diaz or the church or what's happening now, they're going to save you an additional $250.